Hi, this is Nick Tommaso.
Go for it, mate.
I hope I'm not the cause of the echo. If Nick Ashton Hart were on the line, he would thank you all for being on the call. And he would tell you that the reason we're doing this is to answer any questions that, or to explain to you what our transportation and security plans are for Nairobi and answer any specific questions that you have regarding your trip there. With that, the first thing I'd like to do is introduce you to Joe Kirigu, who is Administrative Manager the Kenyan Network Information Center, KENIC, who is our host organization in Nairobi, and he has been working very closely with the ICANN meetings team and security team on arrangements for Nairobi. So he will have comments as we move forward. First thing I wanted to talk to you about was your arrival experience at Jomo Kenyatta International Airport. It is a, as the name suggests, a large, relatively large international airport, certainly smaller by some standards, but very well equipped to handle the volume of people arriving. I've been there a couple of times now. I will tell you that the experience is rather pleasant as you enter the country, and to make it even more so, when you get to immigration, you will find a ICANN welcome desk inside the immigration hall. To assist you with visas or any questions that you may have as you enter the country. Once you leave immigration, as at every other airport around the world, you'll go into the baggage claim and customs hall. And as you come out of the customs hall, you'll find and into the main area of the airport, you'll find yet another ICANN welcome desk, and that will be staffed with people to assist you in securing taxi transportation to your hotels.
Basically. Joe, when will those two desks start up?
They will start on Friday. Joe, I will ask you to comment in a moment. We have had some additional requests for an earlier start. I'm not sure where we are with that. They will start on Friday, and they'll be run on a 24-hour basis. As long as there are flights landing in Nairobi, the desks will be open to help you. Would you like to comment on the welcome desk will open?
Hello, this is Joe from Nairobi. I would like to comment about the welcome desk in Nairobi. We will be having two desks in Nairobi. One will be inside the airport where we have a desk manned by immigration, at the immigration desk. Then once you get outside the baggage area, there will be a welcome desk outside where people will be where delegates will be shown the taxis to take to the various hotels. Something else to note about JKIA Airport is not as big as compared with other airports like JFK. We only have one exit, so it will be very easy for delegates to identify the two desks that will be available. The desk will be manned 24 hours. We are planning to start the desk as early as Friday, but there has been a request that we start the desk as early as Thursday, so that is we are considering that, opening the desk as early as Thursday, because most of the delegates are coming either on Thursday or on Friday.
This is Ken Stubbs. I have a question, if I could, please.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, there are a couple of questions. First of all, many countries collected duty when someone arrives at the country, and in some cases a requirement is that duty has to be in the currency of that country. Number one, does Kenya collect duties on anyone entering Kenya? And I guess that's the main thing to start with.
I'll take that on and then ask Joe to comment after that. There are visa requirements to enter Kenya. I have been told that visa fees need to be paid in U.S. dollars or British pounds, and those are the only two currencies they'll accept at that area.
Now, when you say the visa fees, let me take as an example. According to the information that I have from our passport services office, there's no visa required for, let's say, American citizens to enter Kenya. Is that different than an entrance fee? Let's say anyone who's ever been to the Dominican Republic, the minute you get off the plane, they collect money from you.
I must say, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name when you asked your first question.
My name is Ken Stubbs.
Ken, there is a visa requirement for people entering Kenya from the United States, and that can be acquired in two ways. One is through normal channels that you would use for passport services while you're home, and the other one is upon arrival in Kenya. As I recall, the fee is $25 U.S., and that is a visa fee. There are no other entry fees that I'm aware of. Joe, can you comment on that further?
Yeah, just like Nick has put it, for visa requirement, it depends on various countries. For example, like the U.S., you can get your visa when you arrive at the airport, at the point of entry, or you can get your visa abroad. For other countries, there are even some other countries that will require required visas. So depending on some countries you don't even require visas. There are no entry fees. That's a visa fee which is paid.
Okay. I have one more question, and it's just very quickly. Some countries, Canada used to have a departure fee. Does Nairobi collect, does Kenya collect departure fees on leaving the country?
Sorry, can you repeat that? I didn't get that.
Yes. Some countries collect departure fees from people. Does Kenya collect departure fees upon leaving the country?
No, we don't have that kind of a scenario. We don't collect departure fees.
Thank you.
So I'll show, unless there are any more questions at the moment, I'll continue on. So we've gotten you through immigration and through customs. You're now in a taxi cab on your way to your hotel. Taxi cabs cost about an equivalent of $20 U.S. or 15 euros or so. It is advisable, as a matter of fact, it is mandatory that you have local currency to pay the taxi driver. So I would recommend that before you leave your home destination, you use a currency kiosk to acquire some Kenyan shillings. If that is not the case, when you arrive at the airport and there are currency kiosks as well as automatic teller machines where you can, in fact, use your credit card to acquire local currency. You'll find that the ride from the airport to your downtown hotel is about between 20 and 45 minutes, depending on traffic. Traffic can be a bit challenging at times, depending on the time you arrive, but it's a pleasant trip in from the airport and relatively a short distance.
I'm sorry to bother you again. This is Ken Stubbs. I have another question. Are there authorized taxis? How do we identify a legitimate taxi service from one of these pirate cabs?
Well, that is a very good question, Ken. And the reason that we have, or one of the reasons that we have an arrival a welcome desk in the arrivals area, is to make sure that you get into a licensed taxi for your ride from the airport to your hotel. But our colleague Jeff Bickers, who is Director of Security Operations for ICANN, is on the line with us and has done additional research on that, and I'd ask him to comment on it.
Yeah, thanks for the intro, Nick. Was the question again whether or not there are dangers of taking the wrong taxi from the hotel or from the terminal to the hotel?
Now, many countries, Jeff, as you know, have pirate cab services where people work the airports and so forth, and I wanted to make sure that there was a methodology for identifying legitimate licensed taxi services.
Well, we on our website, Ken, we've recommended the names of three companies who we know to be reliable, who are recommended to us by United Nations personnel, U.S. Embassy personnel, and others in Kenyan government. You can't go wrong if you stick with those three companies, and there'll be an abundance of those cabs at the airport. And in my experience, they're there 24/7, particularly when they know international flights are arriving. It is a good question, though, and I'm sure there is a possibility of stepping into the wrong cab. I would ask the guidance of the folks that Nick Tommaso mentioned who will be there at the courtesy desk beyond customs, and they can give you, or they may be even able to escort you to curbside, because it won't be far away, and point you to the right cab so that you reduce the risk of getting into something less than perfect. But I don't think that it's as big a risk as, say, we had identified for Mexico City, where there's been a considerably larger number of incidents involving, you know, scouts within the airplane terminal identifying victims.
Just real quickly.
I'm sorry, Ken, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much.
I have a question. I'm Patrice Mobletti. About exchanging money, I've been told that older U.S. bills, notes printed before the year 2000, are not accepted in Kenya. Can you confirm that?
Yeah, this is Jeff again. Let me jump in. I will say that I was surprised that when I handed over some U.S. currency in the airport terminal for exchange, I think at least one bill was returned to me. It was exceptionally worn. I don't know what year the bill was printed, but if you really want to be on the safe side, I guess you could get relatively new currency. Couple hundred bucks worth ought to be more than enough, and present that for exchange at the airport. I don't know that they have a strict policy regarding year of bill issue, but I do know they rejected one very worn bill that I handed over.
This is Andrew Mack from Washington. My experience, I've been to Nairobi a number of times, and my experience is about the same. The only time I've ever had any problem in almost any country was with $100 bills. From when they made the change over, because there were so many old counterfeit $100 bills. But aside from that, I can't imagine you'd have a lot of problems with it.
It's Alan Greenberg. I've been to Africa many times in a bunch of countries, and many countries have problems with that, and they do reject older $20 bills as well.
Oh, really? The 20? I've not had problems with the 20s, only with the 100s.
I've had them go through them one by one and look at the dates.
Fair enough.
We can't take comfort in knowing that there are ATM machines in the airport. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And I take it it's relatively safe to use them without fear that someone's going to immediately rob you?
I'll take that as a question for me. I don't know. We haven't identified any risk with using the ATM machines in the airport. I would tend to advise that the more you can get away without exposing your credit cards in any city, probably the better off you are. But we haven't had any reports of ATM fraud regarding the machines at the airport.
Well, it seems that we don't have any more immediate questions, so...
I asked a question online, but I guess you didn't notice it. The Lyco Hotel on their website say they offer free transportation from the airport. Does anyone know if that is indeed accurate?
Alan, I saw your note.
Okay.
I forwarded it on to Stacy, who's working with the Lyco Hotel contract. To give you a definitive answer.
Thank you.
No problem.
Hi, this is George Etches from Brazil. I have a question.
Yes, George.
Hi. In many countries, you can pay the cab in advance, in a booth or something. Is this the case in Nairobi? Or you must pay for the driver at the end of the ride?
Hello, this is Joe. With Nairobi, you pay at the end of your ride, and we would recommend if you can pay in local currencies. It's much more better that way than paying in foreign currencies like dollars or euros. We have forex bureaus at the airport, and you can be able to do that. Again, the ATMs at the airport can be able to take Visa cards and the like, and you can be able to withdraw your money from there.
I assume these are not meter taxis, and one should negotiate the fare ahead of time.
No, these are not meter taxis. You have negotiated figures, but like Nick Tomaso said initially, that the charges are around $20. It's almost standard for most of the hotels that we have on site, closer to the international conference centers, and the charges is around $20.
Could you repeat the amount?
Okay. I'm saying that most of the hotels that we have are around the international conference center, so they're very close to each other. And the charges from the Jomo Kenyatta International Airport is around $20. The taxis are not metered. You pay at the end of the trip.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, this is Nick Tomaso again. We'll move on. The last thing I'll say before I turn it over to Jeff Vickers is that I think you will find Nairobi to be a vibrant city. Many hotels, restaurants, and shops, as you would expect in any large city, and you will have a pleasant experience while you're there. Would you like to take it on from here on security, please?
So this is Jeff. Thanks for the intro, Nick. And I'll preface the security discussion with a few words. I want to commend the local host, Kenick, along with the Kenyan government for doing a great job of helping us prepare to make this a safe meeting. They really are taking great measures to provide a safe environment in the KICC and coordinate with ICANN in terms of answering the questions that we've raised and helping us provide security arrangements for attendees. ICANN is primarily involved in helping the local host and the Kenyan government provide safe transportation to and from the KICC and the hotels around town, most of which are within 10 blocks. Nairobi is not an unsafe city. It has the same level of street crime that a lot of large cities have, third world and developed countries. I would identify the greatest risk for most delegates coming to this meeting probably stemming from walking alone at night on the city center streets, possibly without proper situational awareness. So I would caution everyone to avoid that situation, take taxis, take the shuttle buses that will be provided, etc. Other than that, there are, you know, instances of property crimes. There are instances of nonviolent fraud that might occur either with credit card or people approaching you on the street and engaging you in some sort of conversation, which may lead to a business offer which may be fraudulent. That's not unusual for many other cities in other parts of the world. Again, probably the best way to handle that would be if you must walk, you know, walk in a group, walk with a purpose, and don't stop to talk. Don't stop to engage in prolonged conversations with strangers. The taxi service in town is generally very good. Any taxi you arrange from your hotel is likely to be very reliable. The shuttle bus services we're going to have from the KICC, we're still working out the details on those, but those will be adequate to get you to and from the meeting in the morning and evening. My understanding is that the KICC shuts down, and Nick Tomasi might help me with this, or Joe Karagu, shuts down around 5:30 p.m. So, you know, meetings and get-togethers after that hour are probably going to be held at some of the local hotels. And people have asked on a previous call how they would get from one hotel to another. Again, taxi transportation arranged by the concierge at your hotel will be, trustworthy. One other word about security within the actual conference center, the KICC. As you enter for the first time before you've registered, you know, you'll go through the standard magnetometer and package screening process. You know, whatever backpack or briefcase, whatever you bring, will be scanned, similar to the way it's done at the airport. After that's done and you register as an attendee, you'll be provided with some barcode stickers, two of which I think will be affixed to your registration badge that you'll wear. And the third one, or possibly third and fourth, you will affix to laptops or other electronic gear that you're going to carry with you. That'll allow us to make sure that people aren't leaving with equipment that they didn't bring in. And if you're absolutely against doing something like that, you know, we'll have to tackle that as it comes. But that's a pretty basic common sense security measure that will help everyone, you know, reduce the risk of theft, at least within the conference space. So I won't go on in great detail about websites that you can visit. Obviously, everyone's aware of the numerous sites that provide security advice and warnings. I think one of the ones that makes the most sense is probably the one provided by the United Nations office in Nairobi. And if we haven't provided a link to that, I'll certainly post it here in the chat. It's where we basically got most of the language for the advisory that we have on the ICANN website. And I think you'll find that most of the warnings and advisories are common to a lot of other cities that you may have visited in the past. So I'll leave it at that. And if Nick Ashton Hart is on and wants to jump in at this point, he's more than welcome.
Before you go on, can you hear me?
Sure, go ahead.
This is Chuck Gomes. Regarding the shuttle service between hotels and the conference venue, are those going to run continuously throughout the day or at specific times? And if they don't run continuously, because all of us have needs at various times to go between places, am I assuming that the alternative will be taxis?
You know, I may have to refer that to Joe, because it's my understanding that we will have shuttle buses there throughout the day. But if for some reason, Chuck, you were to step out of the conference center and a shuttle bus was not waiting for you, there will be cabs at the KICC. Cabs won't be allowed into that area unless they're deemed by the government and the local host to be trusted cab companies. And those will be available 24/7, but certainly during the hours of the meeting to take you back and forth to the hotel if you need to visit.
Thank you.
You bet.
Jeff, before...
Jeff, this is Jeff.
Yeah,
I want to answer that one. The shuttle buses will be running in the morning, in the evening, and during the day in between they'll be running according to how the conferences are. They'll not be running throughout the conference. If, for example, we have a CCNSO meeting or a GNSO meeting beginning, let's say, at 11, so the shuttles will run a few minutes before 11, but we make sure attendees coming for those meetings are there. So the shuttle buses will run according to the schedules that are there during the meeting. So if you happen to walk out in the middle of the meeting, then there will be 80 shuttle buses going around during that time. Yeah. So if you happen to walk out in the middle of the meeting, then we recommend that you use the cabs that will be available at the conference center.
Thank you, Joe. This is Chuck Gomes again. Another question.
Sure.
What times will the conference center be open? And what I'm getting at, sometimes some of us and some of our groups have meetings that start earlier than the normally scheduled meetings. Will the conference center be accessible early or later for meetings like that, or do we need to make arrangements in our hotels?
This is Nick Tommaso. Chuck, I will take that question on. At the present time, we are planning on starting meetings at the convention center no earlier than 8 a.m., and we'll run them till no later than 6 p.m. That is our plan at the moment. That said, we are still getting requirements for all the constituency groups to populate our schedule, which the forms are due to us by February 5th, I believe. So we'll have a much better answer for what we will do in the convention center and what we will recommend be done at the support hotels. It's a bit premature for me to answer that, but we fully realize that that is a requirement, and we'll plan accordingly.
And so if I understand correctly, then if we, first of all, if we're anticipating having meetings that are earlier than 8 a.m., we should put that request into you before February 5th. But secondly, if it's ultimately decided that the conference center will open up at 8 a.m., we will not be able to access the conference center before 8 a.m. or stay there later than 6 p.m. if that's the close-off time. Is that correct?
I guess, Chuck, I would question why you would want to be there before 8 a.m. I think that we can safely say that it will be available for our delegates to arrive before 8. But I'd really I wonder why that you would want to do that, and I'm sure you have very valid reasons.
Your question is a very strange one to me, because I am very often in meetings that are ahead of or after the regularly scheduled meetings, so I'm a little bit puzzled by your reaction.
I'm sorry, Chuck. I didn't mean for it to sound odd. I guess I was going back to my initial statement that we were planning on starting meetings at 8 and ending them at 6, and then would be recommending, and at least this is our preliminary thinking, that meetings that would start before that point in time would happen at the hotels.
Okay, and that's what I was getting at earlier. So, and that's okay, because I just needed clarification in that regard. That's helpful.
Actually, I'd like to speak on this subject. It's Marilyn, Nick.
And Alan, next.
Kenneth, put me in the queue.
Can I speak now, or is there a queue on this?
There is a queue, but go for it, Marilyn, because I suspect you're going to say, and I pulled my hand down because Chuck's covered some of what I was concerned about. It just goes back to the round robin of taxis we're going to be taking between hotels.
I actually, Nick, maybe what we need to do for those of us who, you know, Chuck has identified the fact that in many cases, if you're chairing a meeting, you actually need to have a pre-meeting for preparation for it. And so if we're starting a meeting at 8 a.m., having a pre-meeting at 7 at a hotel and then trying to arrange transportation and get through security in order to start a meeting at 8 may present some challenges. We can take the details of that up separately. My question has to do with, and I'll take the details up with you separately, but typically on Tuesday mornings there is a business breakfast with the senior leadership, and other groups have similar events scheduled throughout the week that often start very early as well. We should just take that up with you with a separate detailed request to discuss the options. Is that right?
Marilyn, your first comment is duly noted, and yes, I think that we should have those kinds of conversations so that I completely understand what each group's requirements are, and then we can plan accordingly.
That's fantastic. Thanks.
Thank you.
I had a question about the shuttles. Is there going to be one shuttle loop for all the hotels or multiple ones?
I think Joe is the person to answer that.
I mean, the issue is, if it's one shuttle loop, what kind of time should we expect between any two points?
Thank you. I'll take on that one. This is Joe. We will have different shuttles for different routes. We have grouped hotels which are closer together. So, for example, if you have two hotels together, we only have one shuttle going to those two hotels. Depending on the number of delegates staying in those hotels, if you have more delegates, then you have more than one bus going on that trip. The times when the buses will leave the hotels, we are working on that, on the schedule, and we will share that. It will be posted on the website.
Okay, but the hotel, the shuttles will leave on time, even if they're not full. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Okay.
This is Ken Scott.
I have one last question on the per diems for those who are funded by ICANN. I don't know if this is the right time or not.
This is Ken Stubbs. Keep me in the queue, please.
I am not prepared to answer per diem questions. Do we have anyone from our travel group online who can take that one on? If you would send me your question regarding per diems, this is Nick Tommaso.
I'll put it on the chat.
Very well, thank you.
Nick, it's Steve Antonoff. I don't know that I can answer the question, but Alan, I think that's you. If you'd go ahead and ask, I'll see what I can do.
The question is, we've heard about 12 references to you're going to have to take taxis. The question is, will per diems be adjusted to cover that, or will there be some way of getting them paid for after the fact?
And I don't have a ready answer, so I will have a chat with Mr. Tommaso offline, and we'll circle back with everyone.
Because the likelihood, Cheryl here, of getting receipts out of, 12 to 15 additional taxis is going to be, shall I say, minuscule.
This is
Ken Stubbs. I have a security question when you have a minute, please.
Stephen Derhick, I have a question on the chat regarding security being applied against cabs being allowed into the conference center area.
I don't know whether somebody's monitoring this or not. We're not being recognized or acknowledged, so I don't know whether I'm butting in or whether there is a queue.
Go for it, Dan.
Okay. First question I have is, I appreciate the comments that were made with regard to security for cabs at the conference center. I'm hoping that there will be as much conscientious effort applied at the hotel. It would be very easy with all the recommendations to take cabs from here and there for us to assume that cabs that arrive at hotels to take us to various places are secure. It would be a good idea for you guys to consider some sort of a handout or something that could be put on the back of our badges that would give us a list of the approved cab companies. The cabs picking people up at the hotels are a common way for issues like you mentioned in Mexico City to happen. It's much easier for us if we have at least some sort of an idea as to what constitutes a legitimate cab company. And I don't know whether they use medallions or what they use in Kenya. So I'd very much appreciate if you guys could take a look at addressing that issue. Myself and other people I've talked to have a significant amount of confidence in this pre-planning. And we're hoping that you guys keep your commitments to give the attendees the same level of security that you're providing for your staff and the board members. I'm not being cynical here, but I do want you to know that we are asking questions that are really important as we view them to our own personal security and those others.
Ken, this is Jeff Pickers again. First of all, let me say that I've seen a couple of posts that reflect that ICANN is either taking or considering special security measures for its staff or board, and that I want to dispel that rumor. There's nothing we're doing for ourselves that we're not offering all the attendees. I'm recommending to all ICANN staff that they take cabs from the airport, that they take cabs between hotels, that they take the courtesy shuttles provided by the local host if those are available and convenient. To answer your question about the reliability of certain cab companies, again, we've got the names of three companies we know to be reputable that have been recommended to us by a number of longtime Nairobi business organizations on our website. I can't remember the names of those cab companies off the top of my head. But if you are leaving your hotel and ask the concierge at any one of the hotels we've designated to arrange a cab for you, I would suggest you should have a high degree of confidence that you won't be set up in a bad situation. I haven't had a single report from all the folks that we've consulted with about irreputable cabs being arranged by concierges and victims being either bilked or defrauded or in other ways victims of crime from that sort of situation. I will say clearly that it's a best practice anywhere in the world to, you know, state to the cab driver as you get in where you want to go and ask what the rate will be so that you can make assurances that the rate is reasonable. Other than that, as there were in Mexico, there are no clearly identified bad companies that we wish to point out. We haven't blacklisted a particular cab company for a good reason. We don't know of any that are necessarily bad. Some are better than others, but again, something arranged through your hotel concierge is going to be more than adequately secure. There are, I think we've mentioned, small buses called Matatus in town. I would doubt that anyone in the ICANN community would jump into one of these anyway. They're exceedingly crowded. They may look like a colorful ride. I think we've cautioned on the website, I'll caution again here, that those are problem areas of local transportation. They're frequently involved in traffic accidents, and they don't have proper safety standards. They're typically vans that hold drivers plus anywhere between 12 and 20 passengers, and you won't have any trouble distinguishing those from the vans that Kennec provides. So other than staying out of the Matatus and sticking with cabs arranged by the concierge, I don't know that we're going to have lists or photographs or could provide a white list of all the proper cab companies. And I hope that answers the question. I know it's not a situation without some uncertainty, but I think you'll be okay if you follow those general guidelines.
My experience, especially if there's going to be a lot of people needing cabs, is the concierge isn't going to do that. The doorman is going to pick the first one that they see. So it's the doorman we're typically relying on, not the concierge, I assume.
Well, you can go to the doorman, or, you know, the practice I followed while I was there was to step out and talk to the doorman about which cabs were available. Most of these hotels will not allow you to get into a cab that just pulls up to the curb and that they know to be disreputable. I think you're going to be okay with the doorman. If you really are concerned, you can tell the concierge 10 minutes beforehand, hey, can you arrange a cab for me and the other people that I'll be with, and I'm traveling to such and such a place. And in my experience, you'll probably get a higher cut of service. You may have to pay a couple extra shillings for it, but you probably will get a cleaner, more organized cab service because they will call their most trusted providers, and I'm sure they get some sort of referral fee for that.
I've got a quick follow-up question, Jeff, and I think it's posted on your notes here anyway. Are there any security measures that are being adopted at the various hotels? Should we expect anything there?
Okay, that's a good question. And we haven't taken any special precautions at any one of the hotels. The ICANN staff will be in several hotels. We haven't picked favorites or done anything to secure those hotels or surveyed which hotel has the best security. We have contacted several security consultants in town and had them look at the list of hotels that we've recommended and tell us if they have any questions or concerns with any of them. And they uniformly tell us that those hotels should provide more than adequate security. I'm familiar with most of the security managers in all of these hotels. I'll be in contact with them throughout the meeting. If you have questions that you think reflect inappropriate or unsafe practices by the hotel staff, please let me know and I'll take it up with these folks. The general level of security in all of these hotels is more than adequate. I'm sure some have a greater number of staff and may have guards posted on every floor, and some may not. But none of them have serious security concerns, at least not that have been reflected in the surveys that we've taken.
Jeff, this is Chuck Gomes again. I want to back up to the convention center. I was just realizing that on Sunday night, for example, the GNSO Council has a dinner meeting with the ICANN board and ICANN staff, and that is obviously after the 6 p.m. time. Now, I honestly don't know whether it's going to be at the convention center or at one of the hotels, but I assume procedures will be made if it is at the convention center for us to be there past 6 o'clock, if 6 o'clock is the cutoff.
Chuck, this is Nick Tommaso. Yes, if we decide to hold functions at the convention center past 6 o'clock, we will certainly have the appropriate arrangements made.
Thank you.
All right.
Stacy, perhaps we can go to those people who have raised their hands to speak. Do you have anyone in the queue?
Cheryl, do you have a question?
No, actually, Stacy, I asked you to revoke my microphone because I'd pulled my hand down because basically Chuck and Marilyn covered the matters I wanted to raise.
Okay, great.
Jeff Newman has his hand up.
Jeff Newman? Go ahead.
Okay, sorry, guys. It took me a second to get the mute off. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So in the convention center, you all said you'll have the metal detectors and stuff entering. Do you guys have guards posted in the general area? I know that when the UN has meetings there's it's not just, you know, a metal detector at the front, but there's guards all around the entire, you know, for a few blocks around. Do you guys have that? Are there guards posted on the walk from the hotels to the convention center? What else other than having a metal detector and barcode screening do you have at the convention center and around?
So let me jump in on that a little bit. There is a police station, Kenya National Police Station, in the basement of the KICC. They will have uniformed officers and non-uniformed officers in the conference center, coordinating with me and with our consultants all during the conference hours. You know, if problems develop there, you'll have more than adequate people to refer those to. I have heard some level of commitment that the police presence on the streets in the city center will be stepped up during the time of the conference. And I believe that will probably happen. I don't have a way of ensuring at this point that it will happen or that you will notice it. I will tell you that the Kenyan tourist police are extremely aggressive, very typically operate in plain clothes, and take crime against tourism in the city center very seriously. In fact, they've been criticized more for their aggression than they have for not addressing the problem. So I think you're going to find that there will be a police presence in the city center. You may notice some of it, you may not. I don't know that there's going to be a uniformed policeman on every street corner to observe you as you walk short distances. And I'm typing this into the chat as we speak, but my recommendation would be if you want to be absolutely safe, stick with taxis even during the day. You're likely not to have a problem if you walk during the day, particularly in groups. But my experience was that, you know, people did approach me and attempt to engage me in conversations which, you know, may or may not have led to some sort of fraud or other problems. They may have been completely harmless. But certainly avoid walking at night in the city center. Certainly, if you must walk in groups. And unless it's absolutely necessary, I'd go ahead and stick with taxis and shuttles to the extent that you can.
Chuck Gomes again with another logistical question. I assume registration for the meeting will occur in the conference venue. And if so, we won't have our badges and so forth to get into the building. How is that going to be handled?
No.
Jeff, it's Nick. Do you want to take that one, or shall I answer?
Go ahead and answer, Nick.
The KICC will have security in place as a general rule. Anyone who enters the KICC is talked to by security to find out why they're there. It will be we will have that in place. There are metal detectors, I think it was already mentioned, as you enter the KICC. We are expanding the number of stations so that we do not have long lines waiting to get in. We've already talked about the process for securing your PC or registering your once you're inside the KICC, immediately to the left of the entrance will be the registration desk where you'll pick up your credentials.
Once you
have credentials, they will serve as a preliminary form of identification to enter the KICC, but the security screening will remain.
When will the registration desk be opening?
I'm going to defer that question to Stacy. Stacy, are you online?
I am, and we're going to open Saturday morning around 8:30.
So that
Chuck,
will...
have I answered your questions?
Yeah. Now, so that means that for meetings starting at 9 on Saturday morning, it'll be a little bit tight to get our credentials before the meeting starts.
And we're still working out the logistics locally, so if it's something where possibly ALAC or GNSO is meeting on Saturday, maybe we can pull those in advance and have those ready.
Stacy, a real quick comment, and that is I'm assuming you're going to require identification in order to get your registration badge. Hopefully you won't require passports because many of us like to just put our passport in the safe in the hotel and forget about it. Am I okay with that?
That's a great question, and I'm going to have to get back to you on it because we're working it out with security, and they do want you to have your passport. However, we're working that out.
Well,
so let me get back to you on that.
Yeah, Stacy, some cities, in some countries, a foreigner must have their passport with them. Other places, they strongly recommend you keep a photocopy of the page and not carry the passport. Knowing which it is for Kenya would be a good thing.
And Joe, are you still on the call?
I'm still online, and maybe on that I can comment that the local security team has recommended that delegates should carry their passports for identification. Maybe that will come out clearly in the meeting that we're going to have with the security team with the ICANN representatives.
Is a photocopy of the passport sufficient for that?
Maybe that information can be provided later, but the security team has indicated that delegates must carry their passports.
And one more question or comment. You're getting an awful lot of excellent perceptive questions. I'm hoping you're planning on putting up an FAQ or something like that for people who are unable to attend this call. I think the questions have been very pointed and right on target.
I agree with your assessment, and yes, we are capturing them, and we will be providing more detailed information out to all delegates on our website. Thank you.
I believe Stephen's next in the queue.
Hi, I'm not sure if you can hear me. Can you hear me this way? Hello, hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can just hear you.
Okay, good. Okay, yes. I have a couple questions in the queue, and my primary question is that you mentioned that you'd have cabs available at the conference center, and my question's real simple. Is there going to be any sense of proper searching of these cabs at the conference center if you're allowed to get close to it? They tend to spontaneously combust.
I don't know what the comment spontaneously combust means. Sorry?
They tend to blow up.
I'll talk to you tonight.
Are the cats going to be properly searched? Or are we going to have an embassy bombing situation at the conference center?
Okay, let me address that if I can. The cabs are not. We're not going to have searches of cabs done. They will be stopping well short of the conference center, an area that I would describe as an adequate standback to keep any explosive device from having any impact on the conference center. You'll probably be walking across a plaza, either from the shuttle bus or from where the cab drops you off. That is on the order of, you know, 70 to 100 yards. Mm-hmm. So I don't have strong concerns about vehicle-borne explosives coming into the conference center. Although clearly the Kenyan police are very equipped and used to handling that sort of situation. They've done so in the past for other conferences. I will follow up with Joe and the security organizing group when I get to Kenya next week on the question of whether or not a photocopy of your passport will be adequate. I'm going to strongly suggest that it should be, particularly after your badge has been issued on day one, because I think it's best practice to leave that passport behind in the safe and carry with you a copy of it. But if for some reason our local host absolutely, or the Kenyan government for that matter, absolutely requires that you carry your passport with you 24/7, we'll certainly get that word out to you.
Can I just ask a question? I think there are some on the phone. It's Marilyn Cade, sorry, who traveled to Kenya and Nigeria and other parts of the African region quite frequently and often go to Kenya on business. Could maybe we ask them to comment as well?
We didn't get your book yet. I think you don't need it this weekend?
Not Marilyn. No, Marilyn, this is Andrew. I'm sorry, I was on mute. I do go to Nigeria and Kenya and places like that an awful lot. I think a lot of the questions that people are asking are very legitimate questions. But an awful lot, as we had on our earlier call, I mean, a lot of these issues are issues of using good common sense. If a taxi seems uncomfortable to you, I wouldn't get in it. I'd keep the minimum amount of money that you think you need on you and things like that. And the questions that people are asking about trying to get to early meetings and late meetings at the venue, I think that those are good things that we should flag for the organizers to make sure that they're all kind of thought through in advance. My understanding, and I've been to the conference center before for other events in Nairobi, we're not talking about a huge amount of distance here. So, a part of it is just a little bit of advanced planning and getting to know where you are. I would encourage people. One of the people earlier in the call mentioned the fact that Mexico City has actually fairly substantially greater problems in terms of both street crime and other issues, and that's been my experience too. So for what that's worth.
And it's Marilyn again. I'll just comment. I travel frequently as a woman traveler by myself to many countries in Latin America and in Africa and in the Mideast. I'm really comfortable with the arrangements and the information that's been provided. And I've learned a whole lot from this call, which is going to make my travels much, much easier, including, although you haven't talked about it and it's not ICANN's job, but I'll just mention that it's pretty easy, based on information that's been posted by experienced travelers now, to find out what shots are needed, how to get the visa when you enter the country, a couple of other really important pieces of information I personally have really benefited from. So I want to thank ICANN and everyone who participated, because it's helped me, even though I think I'm an experienced traveler.
Can I comment? I'm not on Adobe. This is Alex from Nairobi.
Go ahead.
Yes. I'm happy with the confidence you're having in security. I think it's great. But I would also ask Kenick just to rest for anybody who is visiting us for the first time, the host, to ensure there is a number where anybody who might be in distress can always call and get help in case of need. Just like some sort of a number that can assist visitors who may feel they're in a situation where they may want to talk to somebody who is directly organized, involved in the organization. Because I've been in conferences also outside Kenya, and in certain situations I just don't know who to call. I don't know what type of phone systems they use. And I think if that was also added, it should help, especially those visiting Kenya for the first time. I don't know if Joe can comment or the other people organizing. Unfortunately, I'm not in the organizing committee, although I'm in Kenya. Thanks.
Hello, this is Joe. Alex, thanks for the question. I think that is something you can take up and provide that kind of information. And maybe just to add on what Alex has said, on security issue, KICC location is very strategic. It's surrounded by most of the ministry government offices. We have the office of the president next to KICC, office of the Minister of Internal Security, Foreign Affairs, office of the Prime Minister. They are all walking distance, a block away from KICC. So KICC is much more safer in terms of when you look at the surroundings.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Nick. This is Ken Stubbs. This relates to medical services. In the past, and I've been to a few of the ICANN meetings, ICANN has made a medical service available in certain countries. They're actually at the site. In other countries, we've been left pretty much on our own to check with the hotel to find a doctor and so forth. I'd like to have a little elaboration on that, if you could, please.
Stacy, it's Nick. I know you've been working on this. Would you please respond to Ken's question?
Yes, we are working with some doctors to try to have them on site at the KICC, as well as talking with the hotels to make sure that there is a doctor on site should anything occur in the middle of the night.
Okay. In terms of speaker order, Stacy, I think you've got Elena and then Christina.
Correct.
In that order.
And Elaine, do you still have a question?
Can I comment on the doctor's issue, on the medical issue? This is Joe. Apart from that, we'll also have ambulances, and at KICC we'll have a doctor on site. We'll have a room set for the doctor and the nurse. And we're also working with the hospitals that accept international insurance, international medical insurance.
Thank you, Joe. Elaine, do you still have a question?
Yes, hello, thank you. It took me a while to figure out how to unmute myself. I'm just curious, as far as the conference center, are there lockers or is there a bag check area there, since it seems that it would be risky to take our bags out during the day? Is there a place to leave valuables behind? Or?
Be quiet! Stand up!
Joe, are you able to answer that?
Yeah, I can answer that. I can take that one. Thanks. The KICC, we don't have lockers. I think that is something we can pick up with KICC. It's a good question. But at the moment, we don't have lockers at the KICC.
Thank you.
And Christina, you're next in the queue.
Yeah, thanks very much. First off, I just wanted to say that I think, yeah, I've been very impressed listening to everything that is being provided and set up in terms of security. But just really wanted to throw a marker down that I was hoping that once the security questions are completed, that we will still have a chance to talk about remote participation.
I will contact Nick Ashenhart and see if he can join us now, if he's available.
Okay. I am on the line,
okay.
So I will be able to do that part of things.
Dr. Eberhardt, you probably are muted. You may need to use star 7 and use the ordinary phone bridge. The talk toggle is not effective in this in this particular Adobe room.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm Ewart Liffer. I'm phoning from Namibia, which is an African country. As you know, and I must say I'm a little bit upset about this whole setup. This is all a load of rubbish. Nairobi is as safe as any other African country, has been as safe as any other African country, and nothing really has changed in it. So I'm a little bit upset about all this boo-ha that is made about it. The decision was made to go to Nairobi, whether right or wrong, but nothing has changed in there. This is normal travel advice that is required. It's as safe as in Delhi. Delhi was so large that one couldn't move from one place to the other anyway. I think general precautions that have been taken to any other meeting in any other town are exactly what is needed. And I think we shouldn't really waste too much time about all this fussy stuff about exploding taxis and things like this. Nairobi, as far as I understand, is a capital city where many meetings, where many international meetings are being held. And I feel we should really don't lose sight of this thing. This is all not as worrisome as some people at Fix News make it sound.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Which is, of course, why so many of us worked so hard to encourage the board to make the decision to continue meeting in Nairobi.
This is Marilyn. As one of the people who did a heavy lifting on that, I really want to thank you for your comments.
Yes. Indeed. Cheryl here, in case you don't know who it is, Dr. Eberhardt.
I know who is online. Thank you. As you well know, we're one of the competitors of Nairobi for the bid, and never mind the decision. The decision has been made, and I think all of these questions: is it safe? Is it not safe?
Have a good weekend.
They have been answered. This is a reason for African situation. That is a very reasonably safe place. Nothing has changed recently. There is really no need to change the decision every 5 minutes. General travel precautions should be applied in every developing country. And that's all that is need to be said. I'm not worried. I'm going there. I'm behaving myself as I should. And I'm encouraging colleagues of mine who are reluctant to go because I don't think it's any problem.
It's comforting to hear that ICANN is really taking this seriously, because I will be perfectly frank with you. When we were in Tunisia, they had security at the front door of the hotel that scanned everything, and anybody who wanted to walk through the back door of that hotel could do it. And that was because it wasn't being taken serious. It's not just those of us who are attending the meeting. It is the assurances that we have to give our family members that we're going to be safe. I understand Eberhardt's perspective, but I am only asking ICANN to look at it from a total perspective for those attendees. And I appreciate the information that we've received today. It makes it easier to deal with the situation.
And Ken, it's Marilyn. I think we've learned a lot about information about visas and other kinds of things that will help us as well.
Yeah.
So I just want to say thank you to the ICANN staff.
And I want to take the opportunity to welcome you to Kenya. I think we're really looking forward to hosting you in Nairobi. Thank you.
Sammy, Fiona, I know there's a lot of you who are working hard to bring us to Kenya. And I happen to have met many of you before. It's Marilyn, but lots of our attendees on the call will have their first opportunity to get to meet the great, our great colleagues in Kenya and in the rest of Africa who will be at this meeting.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Now, Christina had asked that we talk about remote participation. Is Nick going to do that?
I'm happy to do that. Just let me know when you're ready.
Ready.
Okay, I see someone's hand has been raised, but... in brief, what I can tell you is we're taking a slightly different approach with remote participation for Nairobi than we have in the past. In the past, people, the meeting, the organizers of a given session requested from a menu what remote participation they wanted on offer. This time around, there are a standard set of remote participation options that will be applied to all meetings of a given category, for example, a working group meeting or a public forum type session. The idea here is not that we are trying to restrict remote participation, but rather that we're trying to make it more predictable so that
Are you still talking, Nick?
Seem to have lost Nick.
I wonder if he knows.
I can only hope that the remote participation works better than this call.
Are we taking side bets on that?
I think we should, Alan.
Well, I think we'll both be on the same side, though. Now one wonders how far Nick got into his talk before he realized there was no one listening.
Tanya, can you make sure we've got Nick packed back, please, and mute that annoying beeping line?
That's probably Nick.
Probably.
Sorry about that. It shouldn't be me. I'm back. So, sorry, I was right in mid sentence there. So as I was saying, I'm now on a landline, so this problem shouldn't happen again. As I was saying, this time around, with what we want to do is standardizing, it allows us to publish much earlier what remote participation options will be available for what rooms and for what meetings. So it should be much easier for participants to decide what meetings that they want to attend and what they are interested in how they are interested in participating in those meetings. That's sort of one of the main objectives. And we expect to be able to publish this information within the next, I would say, 10 days at the most. The other thing that we're working on is once it is clear exactly how it is going to appear when you go to remote participation options, we're going to prepare a short tutorial that people can look at in advance so that they can see how the different options work for them. The interface for the user when choosing remote participation options should also be much more granular. For example, if you wish just to see the scribe feed and listen to streaming audio and be able to interface via chat with the room, you can just pick those options or any one of them. You won't have to have video and everything else, because when devising this sort of standard, I've been keeping in mind.
Nick, you're breaking up badly.
That everyone has high bandwidth for them.
Nick, what you just said was impossible to understand.
Okay.
You may be on a landline, but you're breaking up badly.
Is that still the case, or is it much better?
Now it's good.
What I was saying is that we've kept firmly in mind that not everyone who wishes to participate remotely is on a high bandwidth connection. And so, for example, in the past where streaming audio would be a 64K stream, now it will be much less because, of course, you don't need 64K audio for a spoken word audio stream. So those are, I suppose, the two main differences. Other than that, the tools that you will see won't change. We're not springing a whole new interface on you or anything like that. You'll still see Adobe Connect sessions for many meetings, but in addition to those, for some of the bigger meetings especially, you'll be able to choose a la carte which options you want to use to participate, and we'll also be providing closer to the meeting information on how we can more fully integrate remote participants into larger meetings. For example, if a question comes up from a remote participant during a public forum, we intend to treat those on a more equal basis with the participants who are physically present than has ever been done in the past. If anyone has any questions, of course, I'm happy to take them, but there will, of course, be widely disseminated information closer to the event date.
Nick, it's Alan. This is going to sound cynical, but having been in the same meetings with me for a while, you'll know it's real life. Are these various setups in the rooms for remote participation going to be tested ahead of time?
Yes. I just for what it's worth, those of you who have ever worked with me in an at-large meeting will know that I've been fairly demanding of the people providing services and somewhat unhappy with some things that have happened in the past. So perhaps I'm the ideal person to be testing these things. But yes, I'm arriving actually on the 3rd. In order to help with testing of this sort of thing.
No, but Nick, let's be realistic. As you know, things can work one day, and then suddenly the next morning they were completely reassembled and don't work anymore. So it's not just coming in days ahead of time. We need someone who's realistic in charge of testing this, not someone who's idealistic.
Yeah, well, I think you'll find that I take a similar approach to this that I have to our meetings, except that now I'm in much more of a position to
make the magic happen. Thank you, Nick.
Well,
that will be fine.
Sorry, the question had to be asked.
It's fine. I would have been shocked had I not heard it, and in fact, I'm expecting to hear it a few more times. And I think you should keep insisting. I mean, it is an important thing to make remote participation, work really effectively. And the more the community pushes for it, the more resources will be applied. So please don't stop asking the questions, really. I know you won't, Alan, but
given
in general,
the problems we have on telephone conferences, I think the questions are warranted.
Nick, it's Sebastian. Just not to say that you need to test, maybe you can offer to have some people outside the country to test with you, then I am sure that some of our colleagues from Atlad will be happy to help you with that, and I am happy to help you with that if you need.
I'll almost certainly take you up on that.
Stephen seems to be next in queue.
There is. First, I want to thank ICANN as well for this conference call and information provided. It's been a game changer for me. We'll be on the phone for booking shortly. Second, I want to apologize to Eberhard if he feels I've insulted him in any way with regards to my question. We have lost several embassies over there, and I have a family that I need to be concerned about as well. So thank you, ICANN, convincing me. Thank you, local host. We'll be there in March. Cheers.
Good to hear. Christina?
Sorry, I was speaking away, not realizing I'm still on mute. I have not participated
remotely since Delhi, and I was wondering, is instantaneous transcription now available through remote participation?
Nick?
Yes, sir, I was on mute myself. I'm thinking that you, Christina, are referring to the Scribe feeds.
Yes.
They are available both inside the Adobe chat window, mm-hmm. for those of you, well, you're looking at Adobe chat now, for those main forum sessions. But it's also available outside of that in an even lower bandwidth delivery.
But in real time.
In real time, yes.
Nick, associated with that, are there also going to be text copies of the Scribe feed? At the last meeting, you could watch it in real time, but you couldn't look at it a half hour later.
In Adobe Connect, there is an issue with scrolling backward. That issue it's going to be the same for this meeting because it requires building a new pod. You know, those little windows.
But I was talking just on the web. Normally you can look at the Scribe feed from the web. But
yes.
Last meeting you could not look at a transcript, which you used to be able to.
You mean you couldn't scroll backwards, or you mean it wasn't saved somewhere after the meeting?
It was not
ended?
Saved somewhere first. So yeah. An hour after the meeting you could not find it.
Yeah.
Just so you know, the board's Public Participation Committee has highlighted that they would expect recordings to be posted within an hour or two of a meeting closing. Where a meeting is recorded, that's, you know, the output of Scribes would be posted directly afterwards. In the past, there's been some variability in the posting of all those things, and the PPC has made it clear to me, because I saw them, that they want this to be standardized and posting speeded up.
And the intent is that for Nairobi it will be?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you.
We've been asked to make it much more than an intent.
Christina, did you have more? Your hand's still up. Otherwise, it's Dr. Ebhardt.
No, I'm learning now. Thank you.
Ebhardt? *7 to unmute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I had to wrestle with the technology. Stephen, I'm not insulted in any way. I'm just saying that I think this is all a little bit over the top. With regards to security. Plain, simple common sense will prevail, and that's all we need to say about it. With regards to the Adobe Connect, last time it happened that somebody called Rod wanted to give a press conference, and Adobe Connect was taken away immediately from one of the working groups, namely the tech working group. Do I understand it now? It's not going to give press conferences on short notices again.
One of the benefits of a more standardized approach, flexible but more standardized, is that we can set up all the required elements for remote participation that are required for all the sessions much further in advance, because we know much further in advance what we will be providing. So there shouldn't be any issue of the kind you're describing.
So we have more facilities than we had previously. We have one in every currently running working group, meeting room, so that it's not that if somebody needs on short notice, then it's going to decide it without consultation that it's going to be taken away from one room into the other or something.
No, because...
As you know, I chair the technical working group. We do this tech day, and it was a little bit embarrassing that many of our people who couldn't make it there couldn't listen to what was being said. And I just want to make sure that we can avoid a similar situation. And I appreciate very much, and I think it's a very good thing to have a standard package for every group so that whoever wants to connect can do so.
And can I get in queue? It's Marilyn.
I think it's all yours, Marilyn.
So with apologies to folks who are on the phone, I'll just announce that I had previously asked Nick a question, which now I have a further question about. I had been very interested in having remote participation from center to remote hubs linked into the business constituency, CSG. So with apologies to others who are not in that group, I need to just raise a question with Nick. Heard that the KICC will need to close at a given time, but if we were to do remote participation live back to centers that are in different time zones, we would normally have wanted to use facilities that are set up at the KICC for at least an hour, maybe an hour and a half. I don't want to put you on the spot, Nick. I'm just flagging this as a question that you know, we'll need to come back and ask you and others about how feasible that is, because we, you know, proposal was to have a one-hour update using remote communication facilities already set up at KICC back to four remote hubs for the business community scattered around the world in a time zone that worked for them.
Regardless of whether they participated live in the ICANN meetings to, you know, have an hour and a half community consultation with an update. Sounding like that might not be feasible if the KICC has to close and there are, and we would need to identify different approaches.
Well, I'll usurp what Nick would probably say, though, of course, Nick can also say it, and say I've heard several comments, despite my connection challenges. I've heard several questions and queries about what will be done after 6 o'clock for various functions and activities. So I'm sure we'll just have to go back and look at how we're going to deal with that and add in this request, too.
Just to make it easier for you all, I'll put the request in writing so it's not vague or obscure, and tuned for what the answer is, but I'll be definitive about what the request is.
That would be very helpful.
Are there any other questions?
This is Chuck Gomes. I want to, on behalf of the GNSO, thank the team that put this conference on and being responsive to certainly several GNSO requests in this regard. Much appreciated. Nice job. Thanks.
It's Alan. One other comment, just that people who are planning vacations before or after the meeting in and around Nairobi and Kenya, there are issues that one must be aware of in terms of security and that kind of thing, and you should read the appropriate advisories and travel books and such.
Looks like we're wrapping up.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank everyone for your time, and we will be providing an update on some of the outstanding answers, and we'll get that posted.
Thanks very much to all of you for taking the time to join in, and I'm sure that the information provided for the meeting will be improved by the comments and questions that have been raised and our ability to add that information to what is already posted.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ego operator.
Left.
The number you dialed is busy right now. Please hold the line